Jason, you and I are used to surprises at Halas Hall. We got another one on Tuesday. We'll break that down and more coming up on Halas Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, one of the Bears' best players decided to walk away at 27 on Tuesday. That's a very, very, very big deal. What do you make of Drew Dahlman's decision?
Yeah, so Drew Dahlman retires at 27 after one season with the Bears, with two seasons left on his contract, and probably, very possibly, more seasons in mind for the Bears beyond this contract because of his age and how well he played in his first year. Drew Dahlman would have theoretically been up for a contract extension after the 2026 season, and if you had to bet on it a week ago, you probably would have said he's probably going to be here longer than 3 years. He's probably going to be part of the long haul here for the Bears. For me, we don't know as of this recording any of Drew Dahlman's reasons for this. So we are going to have to set that aside in this conversation. Looking at it from a football perspective for the Bears, Patrick, think back to a year ago. People are just screaming at them, fix the offensive line. You've got two offensive linemen running the team at that time in Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham. Fix the offensive line. Ben Johnson comes in his own way is screaming, fix the offensive line. Caleb Williams in his own very careful way is screaming, fix the offensive line. So, Pat, then they go and do it. They just splash money all over the place, putting premium resources into premium positions, which is what you have to do to have a good offensive line. They sign, they acquire Jonah Jackson, the right guard, and Joe Tooney, the left guard, in trades, and then pay them a ton of money. They sign Drew Dahlman for a ton of money. They put a second round pick into left tackle with Ozzie Trapillo, and you'd be sitting there saying, "Finally, great, good, problems solved." They go through the season, and it looks like a lot of those problems were solved. A lot of those moves worked out right. You'd be optimistic on Ozzie Trapillo. And yet, here you are in March 2026, and you have major holes to fix on your offensive line at left tackle and center. Brutal. Brutal situation to be in from an administration perspective.
Yeah, Ozzie Trapillo, of course, has a patellar tendon injury in the first playoff game. And all of a sudden, this guy who you have circled as perhaps your left tackle next year is off the board. And now you have Drew Dahlman deciding to hang it up. The Bears gave Drew a three-year, $42 million contract last year. And that's a lot of money, but they paid a premium because they wanted to fix a position that it had been broken for like a generation. Since they cut Roberto Garza, and I believe that was 11 years ago, Jason, they had two guys who started more than one opening day at center. You want to guess them?
Did Sam Mustipher possibly do that? Cody Whitehair?
Very good. Two for two.
Are those the two? Okay.
They had seven different guys start at center in an 11-year period on opening day. So now they've got not only,
by the way, both those two guys, like Sam Mustipher, just best of what was around at the time, and Cody Whitehair probably really shouldn't have been playing center to begin with.
Yeah, Sam Mustipher was an undrafted free agent, and much like Theo Benedict, regardless of how well he plays, will be treated as such for the rest of his career. That's just kind of the way it goes. So when they decide to give him 3 years and $42 million, it is because they need help right away, yes. But it's because they believe that he's going to come in and fix something for a long time. And to me, I think that's what makes his decision to walk away so compelling from a lot of different angles, is that, you know, the Bears paid him more money than he was worth because they presumed he would be around for a while, I would think. Maybe not more money than he's worth, but more money than he would get in a vacuum. And then good for him. If he didn't want to play anymore, I think you and I are all for that. I think you and I feel like players should do that more often. But the Bears are now left with $10 million in savings this year because he's not going to play for them. And they have to replace him, and he's better than a $10 million player. I mean, the Bears are going to lose money on the deal here, right?
Yeah, this is not cap savings that you want to have. Right. They're in a tight cap situation, and this makes it tighter. You could, over the years with the Bears, you could look at different players, and you could kind of wistfully sit here and be like, ooh, wouldn't it be nice from their perspective if so-and-so retired or so-and-so just retired and that money came? This is not that situation at all. This rips open a new problem that you have to solve on the that gets added to the list of other problems you were already thinking about and already wondering if you had the cap space to do it. And now I think, Pat, it becomes difficult for them between their draft resources, which are only two valuable picks, late first round, late second round, and their very limited financial cap space right now, it becomes a challenge for them just to get back to as good of a roster as they had last year on paper. We're not talking upgrades at this point, I don't think, on paper. We're talking, can they just get back to the roster they fielded last season, quality-wise?
Yeah, and I don't know that they can. I mean, so much of their future is going to depend on the young guys on their team getting better. And they're not going to be better on paper going into the season because you do have to fill Tremaine Edmonds' linebacker job whenever they either trade him or cut him, likely this week. You have two safeties you got to fill. You have another corner that you need, unless you really believe in Tyreek Stevenson. You need a left tackle, and now you need a center. And I would argue to you, Jason, that if you want to go by the Drew Brees theorem that when you have a short quarterback, the most important thing to do is to have a really strong interior offensive line, then there's a world where center is more important than left tackle. And I think the Bears might have just proven it. I mean, they played a revolving door of left tackles this year, four different guys. You know, the three they played during the regular season were the three that they couldn't decide between during training camp and who they weren't happy with any of them. And then they played Joe Tooney at left tackle in the postseason. And as much as you and I talk about, well, they need to fix left tackle, they need to fix left tackle. Guess what? They had a pretty good team with a revolving door at left tackle. I don't know that if the hole was at center, that we'd be able to say that just because of everything that goes into the center position, not just the blocking, but helping to identify what's happening at the line of scrimmage every single time. And while Caleb Williams will have grown, you know, between the start of last year and the start of this upcoming season, while Caleb will understand what he's seeing at the line of scrimmage a lot more than he had, you still need a player, and I would argue a veteran and not a draft pick, to step in and be able to help with that. And I was thinking last night, Jason, if I would have walked up to you with their roster yesterday morning and said, pick five guys they can't afford to lose. Drew Dahlman's not one, two, or three. Then he might be four or five.
He's relatively high on your list. So the question now becomes, what do you do? if you are realistic and you say, we don't have the resources to fix all of these problems, you have a couple of options and they're not ideal. But now I think, and I'm sure that Ryan Poles had some idea of this when we talked to him a week ago. I'm sure this didn't hit him completely out of the blue. But when we were talking to him, Pat, about some specific players that could be in or out, there were four main names that came up. Tremaine Edmonds, complete sidestep of that, and you find out very shortly after they've given him permission to request a trade. So there's your answer. He's out one way or another. DJ Moore, it was a little murkier. It indicated, reading between the lines, this could kind of go either way depending on other pieces. DeAndre Swift and Cole Kmet. Ryan Poles was fairly strong on those guys staying, but left the door open for unforeseen circumstances. Hello, we're in an unforeseen circumstance. If you have the opportunity now to save, I forget off the top of my head what it might be, but like $10 million or something on Cole Kmet, you may have to give that a harder look, even if it's something you don't want to do. I think that if you're saying we can't solve all these problems right now because of the limited resources, the Bears' best shot at winning runs through Caleb Williams. And I would focus on, I would prioritize things that facilitate Caleb Williams taking a big step this year. And that would mean spending appropriately at center. And I think making a move at left tackle where you have to act as if Ozzie Tripillo's not coming back. I think you have to make a long-term move. If you think you can get a good left tackle at 25 overall, I think that that is very, very much in the conversation. And you just let the competition sort itself out. I mean, that is a position where people are making $30 million a year if they're really good. That's an incredible cap savings over 4 years if you have the rookie window of a left tackle. And if you end up in a situation where Ozzie Tripillo comes back and he's really good, and now you've got Darnell Wright and Ozzie Tripillo and TBD draft pick at left tackle who's really good, great. Trade one of them for another asset.
There's about an $8.4 million difference in keeping Cole Kmet and getting rid of Cole Kmet. I would keep him just because Ben Johnson uses two tight ends so often that I think you need to treat him and Loveland as starters and as priority players. But you're right in that a complicated Rubik's Cube just got even more complicated for Ryan Poles. And, you know, there's a timeline on all this stuff too, Jason. The league year opens on Monday. Or I'm sorry, the league year opens on Wednesday, the 11th. Unofficial negotiating starts Monday, the 9th. They need to know what they're going to do here. And they probably need to know by the end of the week exactly how it's going to shake out. You ask, okay, what do you do at center now? There are, you know, free agents. They can sign a free agent right now if they wanted to, or they could wait till the league season begins. You know, right now, Tyler Linderbaum is the big name. He played for the Ravens. He becomes a free agent next week if they don't re-sign him. But Jason, he might get $20 million a year. Spotrac, I believe, projects him at 4 years and $71-72 million, something like that.
Yep.
That's now you're doubling. That's double what you gave Drew Dahlman, 3 at 42. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to give this guy 4 at 70. You know, that's double the price. You know, you can go get Connor McGovern, you know, who's the old Bills center who had a pretty decent season last year. Graham Glasgow played for Ben Johnson, but he might retire. And now there's Tyler Biotish. Biotish, is that what we settled on pronunciation-wise?
I do not know how to pronounce that name.
He played for the Commanders last couple of years. He started with the Cowboys, went to the Pro Bowl 1 year, spent the last 2 years in D.C. The Commanders cut him. He was actually, according to NFL Network, inside Hallis Hall yesterday. So maybe he's your choice there, but, you know, it all, you know, it feels like a downgrade. And, you know, while maybe they can, you know, use some of that cost savings toward fixing their other problems, I think everybody in the building would probably just rather have Drew Dahlman there than not.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Well, can we go back to what we were talking about? Your point on Cole Kmet is very well made. And if there's no salary cap and I say, do you want Colston Loveland and Cole Kmet? You'd say, yes, of course. I would too. I think Cole Kmet is a positive on the Bears roster. And that combination of tight ends is great for the Bears and very valuable to Ben Johnson. But there is a salary cap. And what if I tell you, this is just to give some insight, a glimpse into the kind of choices they're going to have to really explore right now. What if I tell you that it's either Kmet or Linderbaum? Can you make do with Colston Loveland and kind of fill in the rest of the tight end depth chart without Cole Kmet if it means you can afford Tyler Linderbaum? Do you see what I'm saying with that kind of?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because
choices that they're going to have to make.
Yeah, because if you were going to pay Drew Dolman 10, and the difference in cutting Komet would be 8, that gets you to 18, and maybe that gets you close. I guess if you're asking me whether I'd rather have Cole Komet or a top 3 ranked center in all of football, I'd probably take the center. I do think, though, that there's a third way here. And it's something that admittedly Ryan Poles didn't want to have to do, or at least do too often. And that's to restructure the contracts of some of their veterans. You know, that's Montez Sweat, DJ yep. Moore. Do you kick that into the, do you, if you do that, you get a lot more cap space this year. Great.
Right. Right.
But you also kick your problems into the future in terms of what you owe these guys down the line.
At a time, which is how Ryan Poles got this job.
Right. But Ryan Poles also got this job because of the Khalil Mack trade. And, you know, that's a topic we can get to if, you know, here in a minute, if Ryan Poles wants to do his own version of it. But I don't know. I think in that very specific scenario, I'd rather have Linderbaum. But I think there are a lot of other ways to make that happen where you don't have to choose between the two. And also, I would rather cut DeAndre Swift than Cole Kmet. Just in terms of... Yeah, just in terms of the ability to go find somebody. Running backs are cheap. You can go find a running back if you have to. But the fact that we're even having these conversations, I think, shows you what a pinch the Bears are in. I think it also shows you, Jason, that these are there have been off seasons when your discussion with me at this time would revolve around, oh my God, how are they going to get a quarterback? Oh my God, why didn't they fire their coach? These, by comparison, are really good problems to have, is we have too many good players, so we got to figure out how to afford them. And by the way, we have a quarterback and a coach that we believe in. That's this is as stressful as it must be for Bears fans to watch them go through all of this. Boy, this is so much better than any other alternative offseason that you and I have had together covering this team.
Oh, rewind to the offseason going into 2020, I want to say. Where yeah. you already know Mitch can't do it. And I believe that's the offseason where Ryan Pace wants to give half the franchise to Seattle for Russell Wilson. And you end up, you're like maybe kicking around on Cam Newton, I think, at one point during that. And you end up with Nick Foles.
Nick Foles, yeah.
Taking a contract that was supposedly untradeable. No, we'll take it. We're here for it.
Yeah,
but I think like the consternation that I can hear in your voice when you're trying to figure out some of these moves, like they're all bad decisions to be having to make. Cutting DeAndre Swift is not a good decision for the Bears to make, I don't think, in a vacuum, because DeAndre Swift just had the best year of his career. Ben Johnson loves the way he's playing. I think DeAndre Swift could do more as a receiver. He's shown that in his career under Ben Johnson previously, and yet these are the kinds of things you might have to do because of the bind you're in financially and restructuring contracts and pushing money down the road. A lot of things that are just not ideal. But the reason to do it is what you're saying about Caleb Williams. They are projecting major strides forward. A lot of people seem to be thinking that, not just in Chicago media, but national media. There seems to be a big groundswell for Caleb Williams emerges truly as a star in 2026. One of the issues for the Bears in this situation is you're still in the Caleb Williams rookie window, but man, we're going into year 3 out of 4 for that. You wasted a year with the wrong coaching staff and offensive line. Last year was very good, but now you go into another year where if the goal is to compete for a championship during a quarterback's rookie window, it's going to be tough to do next season. It's going to be tough to do in 2026 for the Bears with the shortage of resources to address a lot of things that need to be addressed if you're going to take that step forward as a team. You bring up this caveat of if Caleb Williams is Patrick Mahomes, then they're going to be great. And that's true, but that is still a big ask.
Oh, and I'll make a more direct Patrick Mahomes comparison. And I'm not saying that they're the same player. I'm not saying that they're close, but when you have a quarterback that you believe in and that you have to pay, and the Bears will have to pay him in 2 years, these are decisions that you make every offseason. Do you remember Trent McDuffie? He was the quarterback.
Yeah, you don't want to be making them now. They're kind of making them. Right. The decisions we're talking about are those types of things now, not because of Caleb's contract, but because of other issues. Go ahead. Tell me about Trent McDuffie.
Trent McDuffie, all-pro corner for the Chiefs. He went to college with Kyler Gordon, one of the best corners in the league. As you and I sit here right now, the Chiefs just traded him, and they traded him to the Rams for a first-rounder and three other picks or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they did it because they're not going to give this cornerback a second contract because they've got other things to fix and they have a quarterback.
They can't.
Yeah, they just can't. And I guess what I'm saying is the Bears haven't been in a position in a long time where they have been forced to get rid of players that their fans actually like because they've actually won games for them. And they're in this position now because some of it's their own fault. I mean, you know, Tremaine Edmonds making $15 million, that's not ideal. And the guy who wrote him that contract is still the GM. But others, like the Drew Dolman situation, is something that they didn't expect until recently. They weren't, I mean, they knew about it before yesterday, but, you know, they didn't expect it until recently. And now they're just, they got to find their way out of this. Do you think moving Tyson Bagent or DJ Moore, I realized that those accomplished two very different goals, but if you were them, is that an answer you would turn toward?
Bagent would be pretty far down on my list of options because he doesn't really make that much money, and it's a very good price for what they believe to be a very good insurance policy at quarterback. I think you have to look at some of these things like DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift. You got to look at those things before you look at, for example, not bringing back Kevin Byard.
Right.
And by the way, isn't Kevin Byard in line for a raise? I don't think he's coming back for the same price. He shouldn't. I would think there would be a pretty good line of teams willing to give Kevin Byard a raise for at least this upcoming season. So you're going to have to make a decision that you don't like. And I would probably try to make decisions that favor the growth of Caleb Williams. Now, some of that is going to be Ben Johnson problem solving. And we've seen Ben Johnson do such a great job of problem solving during games as a play caller, as a strategist. It was arguably my favorite thing to watch, to cover and observe about Ben Johnson in the 2025 season compared to the last few play callers the Bears had had, and Luke Getsy, Shane Waldron, Matt Nagy, where Bill Lazor, where it's like they go in with a plan and then the plan blows up on them and they don't have plan B, C, D. They don't have any kind of pivot. Ben Johnson, you think back to the Raiders game last year, you brought up Max Crosby. He had to problem solve on the fly to how are we going to keep this guy even reasonably contained. Ben Johnson now has to show that he can do that from a personnel standpoint. He has to show that he can adjust on the fly to a plan blowing up on them, in that the left tackle and center that they thought they'd have going into next season are not going to be there, at least for the start of the season. In Ozzie Trapillo's case, they might be kind of a pretty hard reset at both positions. Can Ben Johnson, who pushed the draft toward three offensive players in the first two rounds last year, is that right? The first three picks were offensive players. Can he sit there and say, okay, you know, we can keep putting resources into the offense, but I know what it's going to leave my defense looking like, and we're going to try to win games 45-42, which you might win some games doing that, but that's not a championship contender recipe. That's not winning a Super Bowl doing that. You won't be great. You might be good, but you're not going to be great. Or can Ben Johnson say, all right, I can problem solve not having DJ Moore, not having Cole Kmet, he probably still got to use that first round pick at left tackle, I think. But can I problem solve some of these resources being reallocated to the defense where we need help? And I, Ben Johnson, the offensive genius will solve these offensive problems with my offensive genius.
Their biggest need is an edge rusher, and we know, or a pass rusher. And we know that because that's what they say. Ben Johnson said last week, presumably while he knew that at least Drew Dahlman's retirement was a possibility, said our biggest need is rushing the passer. So yeah, they're going to have to devote resources to that. And, you know, we can sit here all day and talk about how they did that last year and it went so poorly with Dio Odengbo that they have to do it again. But that's the reality. Would you rather, if you were them, Jason, pay Trey Hendrickson, who is old by football standards and played only 7 games last year, top of market free agent money? Or would you explore a trade for Max Crosby, who I think every day that goes by that Crosby doesn't go on his podcast and say, I'm a Raider, I think the chances increase that he's going to go somewhere here, whether it's now or before the draft.
It's tough. It's such an uncomfortable question for me to be asked because I just don't see a clear answer on that. There's some part of you that says go for it now off of last season and with the, in assuming the growth of Kayla Williams. And if you don't get that, then you're kind of, you know, going to be blowing things up anyway. But that is this, that is, those are the types of moves that put them in the situation for Ryan Poles to get this job in the first place. I mean, the over enthusiasm, the misread of the quality of what you have right now doomed Ryan Pace, thinking he was so much closer than he was and going all in to go 8-8 or 6-11 or something like that. Just ruined the Bears, just set them up to where they had to throw away an entire first season in 2022 under Poles and Eberflus. I don't know if they're there yet. I don't know if you can base that kind of going all in, especially to maximize Caleb's rookie contract, on projected growth from Caleb Williams vaulting you that far, that much farther than you already are right now. But on the other hand, if you don't, and Caleb continues to progress and be pretty good, you know, you're going to have to commit to a long-term contract to him this time next year. And then now you have to, now you've lost, you've pretty much, you'd have 1 year left in the rookie window, but you've pretty much wasted that precious opportunity that everybody wants.
It's what everybody wants, but what we were looking it up. If your name isn't Patrick Mahomes, how many times have you been able to win a Super Bowl on a rookie deal?
Yeah, but gotten to a Super Bowl, there's plenty.
Right.
There's a handful, including this past year with Drake May.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Drake May.
Jared Goff, too, I believe, with the Rams. Jared Goff,
yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, I would lean toward, if you got to pay Trey Hendrickson Max Crosby money, at least on a shorter deal, I think I'd rather have Trey Hendrickson and my 2 first-round picks and whatever it takes, whatever it would take to trade for Crosby. I guess I'd rather keep that and try and kind of middle it a little bit where you get better this year, but not at the expense of future major draft assets. But I don't know how good Trey Hendrickson still is. You know,
yeah, I kind of spiraled into a bunch of rambling and frustration with the situation when you asked me that and didn't really answer your question. I don't think you can give up 2 first round picks right now. I just don't think you can do that. You need those one way or another. You need either you need those to fill key spots, or you need those because that is a very affordable way to replenish key positions once you're paying a quarterback. One way or another, you need those picks. You cannot just give those up.
Does it surprise you or intrigue you that DraftKings has the Bears as minus 200 to end up with Max Crosby and has the Raiders at plus 140?
No, I think people have been connecting the dots between Max Crosby and the Bears since during last season. And it would be really, it'd be a fun thing to watch. I mean, you'd love to see Montez Sweat and Max Crosby together. It'd be something the Bears haven't had in a few years, and it would be, I think, pretty good. I think it'd bring out really great production out of both of them. But man, 2 first-round picks. I mean, the value of first-round picks with the in this era over the last 16 years, where with the pre-slotted contracts where you're not paying Sam Bradford all this money when you draft him. I mean, mostly we talk about that in terms of the quarterback. But look over at Detroit and how they don't have that at quarterback. They've had to pay Jared Goff a ton of money throughout his time there, including on a new contract after he got there. But Detroit has been winning because they don't have the rookie contract at quarterback, but they've had it like everywhere else. Yep. They've gotten this enormous savings on there with Sewell and Hutchinson. And that matters too. If you can hit that on a bunch of first round picks where you're getting, you use those at premium positions and get good players. It's the same concept as we talk about at quarterback. It's just not quite the same amount of savings. We're talking about with Caleb Williams, if he was to step into being a top eight quarterback this year, you're probably saving $40 million. You're getting $50 million level play for 10. At positions like left tackle and edge rusher, I mean, you'd be still talking about getting, you know, $30 to $40 million play for under $10 million based on where you'd be drafting then. I would want those picks no matter what situation I'm in if I'm the Bears. I would want them, if things are going well, to restock. And I would want them, if things are not going well, to plug those resources into premium positions like left tackle and defensive end to fix it.
Yeah, I was going to say, for all the reasons the Lions are good, they drafted the best running back in the world in the middle of the first round. They drafted one of the best five receivers in the world in the second round. You know, they drafted one of the best five edge rushers on the planet with the number two overall pick. A lot of this is just, you know, get your draft picks right. And yeah, it's impossible to do that if you don't have them. Jason, there's going to be a lot going on during the rest of the week leading up to the start of legal tampering on Monday. You and I will be around to cover that at the Sun Times and here on the podcast. Until then, people can follow you and I at the Sun Times website, on social media, and if you live in town, buy a paper. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Saying thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.
Hey, it's Nudia from Vocalo. Got plans July 11th? Now you do. Join me for Vocalo's free summer Meltdown concert at Bottom Lounge with Adam Killa and Taylor Bennett. We'll have merch giveaways and surprise guests. Learn more at wbez.org/events.